Okay. So I want to start out by letting you know that there are no relationships to disclose, and the work that I'm going to be talking about was supported by an R21 grant from the National Cancer Institute. And I want to acknowledge the collaborative team that worked on this research. This was a joint effort of the Temple University Department of Public Health with the General Internal Medicine Clinic and the School of Medicine. So while we know that African Americans suffer from higher CRC morbidity and mortality than whites, we also know that they have some of the lowest screening rates. And there has been a great deal of research that's been done to determine what some of the screening barriers are for colonoscopy screenings for African Americans. But to our knowledge, there has not been any previous work to determine how patients perceive CRC barriers and how that compares to how their doctors think that they perceive it. So this study was designed specifically to compare African American patients' beliefs and perceptions of barriers to colonoscopy to those of their doctors. We believe that discordance in perception might be especially important to understand for African Americans and is definitely an essential first step toward improving communication between doctors and their patients about colonoscopy screenings for this population. So we really aim this study at providing an empirical basis for how we can start improving the physician-patient communication about colonoscopy to facilitate it for African Americans. So the real question sort of became for us, if we want to know how African American patients perceive the barriers and facilitators of colonoscopy, how can we see inside their minds to understand how they feel about this health issue? And then how can we judge that in a way that's measurable? And the way that we're doing with that is with some pretty innovative methods that we're using. In the Risk Communication Lab at Temple University, we are using multidimensional scaling methods and perceptual mapping methods. And these are some methods that have been previously used in marketing research, but to our knowledge, we're the only ones using it for public health research. And what these methods allow us to do is to ask a person or a group of persons how they feel about different health issues and to learn how they conceptualize these elements relative to one another, but also relative to a self. And if we create a map for an individual person, then the self is that one person. In this case, we're creating the map for a group of people, so the self is an aggregate self. And as we look at the maps, we can see different concepts related to the health issue. And the closer the concepts are to the aggregate self, the more important these concepts are to a person in determining how they feel about that health issue. So I'm going to sort of walk you through that as we move on. Now, in marketing research, perceptual mapping methods require people to make very complex judgments about what they're looking at. And that's not the way that we use it in the public health field and not at the Risk Communication Lab. We have developed some software that allows us to use very simple procedures. So by using simple paper, pencil measurements, simple surveys, we ask people to rate on a scale from 0 to 10 how they feel about different health issues. We ask them to rate, can you please tell us how much you disagree or agree with this statement about this health issue? And then depending on what they answer, we take the inter-item correlations of these associations and we turn these into distances in the map so that we get this 3D kind of geographical map that allows us to have a snapshot of how that person interprets a health issue, which is quite interesting. So for example, for this study, we might say to a patient, please tell me on a scale of 0 to 10, how much do you agree or disagree with the statement, colonoscopy is the most accurate method to test for colorectal cancer? Or, I'm concerned that the screening might be painful. So these are the kind of things that we worked on in this particular study. So our sample from this study came from a general internal medicine clinic in a large urban teaching hospital in Philadelphia. And we surveyed 102 African American patients and asked them what they believed were their major screening beliefs and the barriers and facilitators that they felt about colonoscopy screening. This group was fairly equal by gender with a mean age of 69. And although 72% of our participants told us that they had graduated from high school, we did realm R tests on all of our patients and we found out that 90% of them scored below a sixth grade literacy level. So I think that was really important for us to consider. Then we approached the third-year residents who treat these patients in the clinic, and we asked them if they would be willing to participate by completing the survey and answering as they thought their patients would answer. So patients were asked, how do you feel about this issue? And doctors were asked, how do you think your patients feel about this issue? How do you think they would respond? And we chose to work with third-year residents because we determined that by the third year in a residency, Someone might have enough opinions and practices that they're already working on, but still be open to making changes. So we ended up with 29 residents with a mean age of 28 and had slightly more males than females in this group. And we wanted to learn what concepts about colonoscopy were particularly important to the people attending this clinic and their doctors. So we started by doing some qualitative research. We ran focus groups with the patients and conducted some semi-structured in-depth interviews with the doctors, and ultimately found three different groupings of concepts for our survey. The first included 13 statements that were related to barriers for colonoscopy screening. Then we had 8 statements related to facilitators for colonoscopy screening. And 11 statements that focused on personal attitudes and beliefs and preferences about preventive health practices in general and preventive screening specifically. And because we had such a low literacy rate for our patients, we had research assistants read each statement aloud to them, and we asked them to rate on a scale of 0 to 10 using the graphic visual of a smiley face to a frown, which this type of visual scale is frequently used in pain scales for the literacy population. Please point to us how much you agree or disagree with each statement. And then, as I say, the residents rated how much they believe their patients would agree or disagree with each of the statements. The survey data were entered into SPSS for two main purposes. One was to generate inter-item correlation coefficients. These were processed through the perceptual mapping software. And the other was to conduct independent sample t-tests so that we could compare the means between the patients and the physicians. So for each of the three groupings, we have the screening barriers, the screening facilitators, and the general opinions about preventive health behaviors. The perceptual maps allow us to compare how the patients and the physicians perceive these and what their differences are. And then the t-test allowed us to compare how each of the groups felt different concepts were more or less important than others. So as we're looking at the perceptual maps from the screening barriers, I kind of like to walk you through this and help you interpret this a little. We can see that in the patient map, there are certain elements that are very close to the aggregate self. And so we know these elements are very important to the patients as screening barriers. So these were elements like, I worry that there might be complications from having a colonoscopy. I'm worried that it's going to be painful, or I'm scared to know if I have cancer. I have a fear of a diagnosis. When we did the t-test, we also saw that bothersome prep was another significant barrier for the African-American patients. What's different is that on the physician map, what was most important to the physicians, what they thought would be most important to the patients, were logistical lifestyle issues. So instead of having a huge focus on worry about complications or fear of cancer diagnosis, the physicians thought some of the main barriers for their African-American patients were things like, I would have to get somebody to care for my children or to care for my parents. I would have to worry about taking time off of work or getting transportation to the colonoscopy screening. And in their t-test, we saw they also thought that worrying about pain might be significant for their patients, and also lack of familiarity with colonoscopy might be a big screening barrier, as well as the bothersome prep and embarrassment. So then we started looking at screening facilitators, and you might notice that these maps don't have as many groups in them. Things are kind of spread apart, especially in the physician map. And in the physician map, not only are there no clear groupings, but everything's really far from the self. See that? So what this tells us is that the physicians were a little bit unclear. They didn't really know what were the main facilitators for patients to have colonoscopy screenings, and they didn't really feel that patients had a clear grasp of the benefits for colonoscopy. But what we see when we look at the physician map is that the patients have very clear groupings and a very clear idea of the benefits of colonoscopy. So the patients said the most important facilitators for colonoscopy for them was that by having a colonoscopy, a doctor can remove growths before they become cancer or find cancer early, and that they felt the colonoscopy was the most accurate method for detecting CRC. They also noted that peace of mind is a really big issue. Look how close this is to the aggregate self on the map. What this says is that the patients indicated that if I have a colonoscopy screening and I know if I'm going to have cancer or not, I have a peace of mind just from knowing. But when we look on the physician map, we see that this peace of mind element is way far over here. So that tells us that the physicians didn't really understand that as being important to their patients, which I think is kind of interesting. When we look at the t-test, we see that patients also identified additional facilitators as being important. So having insurance coverage for a colonoscopy, believing that being asleep with a colonoscopy is a good thing, and that colonoscopies have high recommendations from doctors. Even though there was nothing that really popped out on our perceptual map for the physicians, our T-test indicated that physicians also recognized that insurance coverage was important, sedation was good, that patients would like that it was recommended by doctors, and that being able to find cancer early and remove growths would be important for the patients. Then we asked people to tell us, what are your general attitudes about preventive health beliefs and practices, and how much do you like having screenings? And what we saw was that the patients felt, you know what, As long as I have a doctor that I trust that recommends the screening, I am going to get the screening. And if I find out bad news, it's God's will that I get cancer, and I'm okay with that. We also saw that the patient said things like, I really feel that screenings are worth the effort, and I actually regularly do screenings to avoid getting sick. So that shows, in general, the patients were favorable towards screenings. But the physicians didn't necessarily recognize this. While they understood that a trusted doctor recommendation would be important, they seem to think that the patients weren't in huge favor of screenings in general. And they said things like, as patients, I don't think that my patients go to the doctor unless they really have to. I think my patients trust their bodies to tell them when they need to be screened and don't like to get tests. So we see there's a huge difference there. As we talk about some of the limitations of this research, I do want to point out that our findings are limited by the characteristic of our sample. So even though we had 94% of our residents respond and say that they wanted to be part of the research, which was great, was only an N of 29. And we have our residents come to us on a GYN rotation. So some of the residents may or may not have had previous training in gastroenterology, which could certainly influence how they perceive their patients' recommendations for colonoscopy. Also, all of the patients in our sample had Medicare or Medicaid insurance. This covers colonoscopy, and this could be a reason why there wasn't an indication of a huge barrier for our patients of cost. But previous research has shown that cost is a significant barrier for African American populations in receiving colonoscopy. We also did not match particular patients and physicians. So we asked the doctors, please tell us in general, how do you think that your patients would respond to these questions? We didn't say, how do you think Mrs. Robinson would respond, or how do you think Mr. Johnson would respond? So that may have influenced the physicians' responses. And different residency training programs may or may not emphasize colonoscopy as the standard of care, and it may or may not translate to other populations and settings, and that's just something that we can't know. But when we look at our overall conclusions, we see that there were definitely differences in the way that the third-year residents viewed their African-American patients' perceptions about colonoscopy. Specifically, the physicians in our sample underestimated the extent to which their patients understood the benefits of colonoscopy, the importance of a doctor's recommendation, and the importance of certain screening barriers, especially fear of complications or pain, any fears of sedation, and fear of finding out that somebody has cancer. They also underestimated the role that religious beliefs play in facilitating screening decisions, and this ended up being really huge for our patients. Overall, I think that resident physicians are in a unique role to help to educate their patients and motivate them to receive colonoscopy screenings. And if physicians had more accurate perceptions of the facilitators and barriers for their patients, they can more accurately counsel them and guide them. So they counsel patients by building on the facilitators and addressing the barriers. I think that residency training programs can really encourage this by placing high value on understanding and communicating effectively with patients and improving this communication, especially for African American populations if they're looking to increase their overall colonoscopy screening rates. Thank you.